CBS News Brief. Vice President Vance met with Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu today to try to shore up the Gaza peace plan and fragile ceasefire. The BBC's Yoland Nell from Jerusalem.
There's been a lot going on behind the scenes where the U.S. is really trying to press for some concessions by Israel as well in advancing President Trump's 20-point peace plan.
No sign of movement as the federal government shutdown enters day 22. House Speaker Mike Johnson pinning the blame squarely on the Senate minority leader.
As soon as Chuck Schumer reopens the government, all of our members will have an opportunity to engage in the very important discussion of how to make Obamacare affordable.
New Orleans Police Commissioner Ann Kirkpatrick tells CBS News she's expecting National Guard troops to arrive there next month. Correspondent Katie Weiss.
She said, quote, "We're working together and planning their deployment, that they're not coming in to take us over, that this is a partnership."
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
This report on 540 WAUK is sponsored by Horizons Law Firm. Learn more about divorce coaching online at horizonslaw.com.
With local news on 540 WAUK on 100.3 FM, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. A new contract for Milwaukee Police. After years without one, the Milwaukee Police Association and the City of Milwaukee have reached a new tentative agreement covering most of the city's law enforcement officers. The deal was announced jointly by Mayor Cavalier Johnson and the union president. It still needs approval from union members and the Milwaukee Common Council before it can take effect. Financial details haven't been released. The agreement ends weeks of ongoing arbitration and years without a deal. The union president calls it a reasonable compromise following months of tough negotiations and public criticism. Mayor Johnson says the city is committed to public safety and fair compensation for officers. It could be last call at a popular downtown Milwaukee bar. Milwaukee's license committee is recommending to pull the Element Lounge license after multiple shootings tied to people leaving the club. Police say the bar's operation has created safety problems, but the attorney for the nightclub insists that they're being targeted for crimes that happen nearby. The issue now heads to the full Common Council, which votes November 4th on whether the bar stays open or shuts down. Seniors on Milwaukee's north side are demanding answers after months of silence about the closure of a community center. The McGovern Senior Center shut down in August due to flooding and mold, and county officials have yet to give a date for a reopening. The alder for the area, Andrea Pratt, says she's been hearing from people who are frustrated. She's urging the county to share their plan and to reopen the center as soon as it's safe. Pratt also encouraged seniors to attend an upcoming county budget meeting to make their voices heard. There's one next Tuesday at the Mitchell Park Pavilion. Festival Foods is now officially owned by an out-of-state company. St. Louis-based Schnuck Markets completed the purchase of Festival Foods and Hometown Grocers this week. And that's the local update. It's all news all morning, 6 to 9 on 540 WAUK on 100.3 FM. News anytime at WAUKradio.com. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
The Packers prepare for Pittsburgh. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NFL, it's the Packers and the Steelers this week on Sunday Night Football. But head coach Matt LaFleur reminding us they're playing the Steelers, not Aaron Rodgers.
We're playing the Pittsburgh Steelers, who happen to have Aaron Rodgers. I mean, it's as simple as that. That is for you guys to talk about. We've got a lot of respect and love for Aaron. I mean, what he's done here is a Hall of Famer. This game is not about that. It's about going to Pittsburgh, Sunday Night Football. Our guys will be jacked up. It's about the Green Bay Packers versus the Pittsburgh Steelers.
NBA, it's the Bucks against the Wizards tonight in Milwaukee and the debut of Miles Turner and what role he'll play on the Bucks this season.
As a center, you know, as an anchor in the back part of the defense, it's like, what you're supposed to do? The feedback has been phenomenal. It's like, you know, you're right, I don't even realize when I'm doing it. They're saying, yo, we need more of that. You know, it's not something we've had, you know, consistently in the past. Like, we need a voice. We need someone to always, like, step up and speak. So I'm just taking it on.
That's the Bucks' Miles Turner with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here. You're listening to 540 WAUK, home of the Midwest Farm Report.
Hi, meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Cloudy, blustery, and cold today with a few scattered light showers, highs in the upper 40s to near 50. An isolated shower this evening, otherwise mostly cloudy and breezy, lows in the upper 30s. Mostly sunny on Thursday with highs in the lower 50s. Currently, it's 44.
If you're trying to do your own divorce, divorce coaching can be a godsend. It can help you organize all of your financials, review your spouse's financials, and help you put together a proposal to resolve your divorce or be able to articulate why the proposal is unfair and whether you can push back on things like an inheritance or the income of the other party. Call Horizons Law Group today and speak to attorney Michelle Fitzgerald, 262-432-3600 or horizonslaw.com.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
30,000 Wisconsinites could be priced out of ACA insurance completely. Former Assistant Secretary for Commerce and Economic Development, Alejandra Castillo. What's the off-ramp here?
If you haven't called your member of Congress, you need to. The off-ramp can only be individuals like you and I calling our members of Congress and demanding that both the White House and Congress begin to negotiate a real solution.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome No Packers, No Life director Craig Benzine and Northeast Wisconsin native son and the writer-director of a movie currently in theaters called The Twits, Phil Johnston. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Tom Hartman here. You're listening to 540 WAUK.
Good morning. Welcome, welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Craig Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our home at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up for the last half an hour of the show for Audio Sorbet, where we take a break, get away from the news, take a breath, so we all don't crack up. Today's Audio Sorbet question, what movie should never have been made?
Yeah.
That just was a mistake. Why did you do that to us? What movie should never have been made? And we'll wrap up the show, as we always do, with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Bear With Me Now edition. Stay tuned for that. Right now we are joined by our friend and colleague and host of the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. Dr. Kristen Lierley is here. Good morning, my friend.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good, good. Uh-huh. We are glad to see you. This just kind of really jumped out last week. I know we did talk to you about sperm last week. We're going to get back to that in just a second. But Dr. Oz, of course, part of the Trump administration, has a comment about Americans and our family size. Calvin, let's play that clip from Dr. Oz and what the problem is in the United States.
But it turns out that it's about one in three families, a much higher number, that don't have the number of babies they desire. They're under-babied.
They're under-babied, Dr. Lierley. Under-babied.
Not location-wise. They're not located under a baby.
Are they located in the placenta? Where are they?
don't come to me with that medical talk, doctor.
Which, by the way, there's a reason she says that. Bob Kennedy Jr.
Oh, boy. Oh, God. Okay, one crazy person at a time.
He said that women are taking Tylenol with the baby in their placentas. That's not where the baby is.
I think he said gobbling Tylenol. And the placenta is like, you know, it's part of the complex. But the baby's not in the placenta.
It's part of the structure.
It's part of the baby arena.
Why do Republicans know so little about what actually... They're so interested, yet they know so little.
It's amazing.
Because it gets them elected. The question I have for you, and I asked this question a while ago, and you laid it out, because... When he says under-babied, I actually hear what he's trying to say, because you laid it out very clearly months ago for me, because I just wanted to know. In this country, we do actually have a childbirth, I don't want to say crisis, but there aren't enough children being born.
To replace the people who are dying.
Exactly. You said that's a thing, and I didn't think it was, and you are a doctor, so please be our Dr. Oz whisperer.
I don't think it's a doctor thing. I think it's an economic thing. Yeah. We have an aging population that is large, and we are not having enough babies to be able to go into the future workforce and grow the economy to support our aging population. But I mean, here's my disclaimer. I myself have four children. We should have as many babies as we want, but we should be supported in having those babies, not just in getting pregnant, but in delivering, having a safe pregnancy, delivering these babies in a safe place, being able to raise and grow a family, being able to send our kids to college. There's so much more to it than actually just like fertilizing an egg and saying, go.
Well, I think it's important considering you are an actual OBGYN. So you see pregnant people like literally face to face. You actually talk and deal with pregnant people. So you must hear about people's situations and what kind of situations they're in. And economics plays a big part in whether or not you choose to expand your family, doesn't it?
It's huge. Even when I talk to my own kids who are young adults, they can't even imagine what it would like be like to buy a house, much less have a kid. Do you know how expensive it is to raise a kid in this day and age? Even if you're putting them in public school, which is getting less and less desirable these days, even if you're not thinking about saving for college because maybe they're going to take a different path, when you're looking at what it costs just to feed and diaper them, you can't do it. That's why we have the Milwaukee Diaper Mission. That's why food banks are bursting at the seams with people who need help. We do not have a society that is welcoming, that is actually encouraging people to have more babies. So, hey, Dr. Oz, you can do something about this. You are part of this administration. If you want people to have more babies, create a better society for us.
And I want to make something also clear about this. When you talk about things like the Milwaukee Diaper Mission and food pantries, which are all wonderful. Mike, Milwaukee Diaper Mission is all over my Instagram with all the wonderful things they are doing.
Yep.
But I also want to dispel this thought because I don't know about the two of you, but I was raised of this notion of if you go to a place like the Milwaukee Diaper Mission or a food bank, you are poor. And it's not just people who can't afford it. It's regular folks who have decent jobs, who have a home and children, who need to utilize these services out there because they are having a tough time in this economy too. I mean, when gas prices rise 30 plus cents overnight, this is a problem that affects everyone, not just the poor and the meek and the unwilling and whatever else you want to paint them as. These are all folks who fall in that working middle class, blue collar, working poor,
right,
who are utilizing these services. And yeah, you see the problem right in front of you, Dr. Oz, and not Dr. Kennedy and President Trump and Mike Johnson, but you choose to do nothing about it. Instead, you point fingers and say, well, just have babies and just you're fine.
Yeah. And they say the craziest things. And it's not just nationally. It's what's happening here in the state. I mean, Jane, I know you wanted to talk about this new legislation that has recently been introduced that provides exemptions to the abortion bans here in Wisconsin. And it is just crazy to me that a child care provider and a career politician from the North Woods want to define the kind of health care that you can get. And the sentence that really, really brought it home for me was, so this is a representative who's close to me in Northeast Wisconsin. They're literally trying to define, like, it wouldn't apply to a molar pregnancy. It wouldn't apply to this kind of pregnancy. And here's the quote. She said she would also be open to discussing amendments, which would include exemptions for abortions performed because of other medical complications like preeclampsia or maternal sepsis. Are you kidding me? You would need to get an exemption if you are dying from a blood infection that has the potential to not just, I mean, it could kill you, but it also could permanently maim you if you don't actually get to the point of, it is unbelievable to me that these politicians want to interfere, want to micromanage our lives in these such unreasonable ways.
If you're just joining us on Matt and Aaron Air, we're speaking with Dr. Kristen Lierley, who is the host of the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show right here on Civic Media's on Saturday and Sunday. Remind me the time. It's noon, right?
It's noon.
You can check it out every single weekend or download it from the Civic Media app or civicmedia.us, the website. But I'm sorry to say this, but yeah, that doesn't surprise me when I see states like Texas who are just saying, well, let's just see what happens. I mean, if she lives, she lives. But it doesn't matter. It's the baby. It's always about the baby. So if she's going through the worst pain, the worst problems, she could be maimed, dismembered, or die. If that baby lives, it's all worth it to them because that's the end goal, period. The baby being born. What happens to the baby after they're born?
Well, that's not our problem.
It is not the problem of the government. You know, that small government they always want to do. It's just about making sure the baby is born. As long as that happens, it's a victory.
We know what happens. Texas is the canary in the coal mine because they had SB8 before we had Dobbs. So we've got almost a year of data that precedes what happened across the rest of the country. Women die.
Yes.
That's what happens.
Yes.
Their maternal mortality rate, the number of women dying associated with their pregnancy, more than doubled. And it became incredibly hard for my colleagues to take care of their patients because before they could actually provide care, they have to talk to an attorney. Is that the kind of healthcare that you want? If I am thinking about what the options are for my patients and I know what I have to do and I know that I don't have time, do you really want me to have to stop and talk to an attorney before I can take care of you? I don't think so.
Yeah.
Dr. Kristen Lierley is our guest on Matt Nair on Air. She is the host of the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show across the network on Saturday and Sunday at noon. PJ texting in on the live stream says, the cost to have and raise a child to age 18 in Wisconsin is about $220,000, according to recent estimates. That even seems a little low.
That feels low to me. Right? As the mom of four kids, that feels low to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
We even did cloth diapers when the kids were little because we were trying to. Yeah, I know, right? We were trying to cut corners because diapers are so, so expensive, even though we are the diaper capital of the world here in Wisconsin. So expensive.
Well, people forget, again, I don't have kids, you know, and when my friend Kristen had her baby, they go through like 20 diapers, little one. They go through 20 diapers a day. Easy.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then you add the food and then you add the daycare. Oh, my gosh, daycare in this state. It's everything. I can't imagine what it would be like to be a young person.
And God forbid,
right now.
And God forbid a trip to the hospital. That is the problem, too. It doesn't matter if we're talking about parents. It doesn't matter if we're talking about individuals. It doesn't matter the age. It doesn't matter anything. Well, unless you're rich and you can afford it. But you can live a completely normal life, working your job, paying your taxes, just being a regular folk. At a hospital visit
one,
in there,
yep, one,
and that's
one
it.
Medical emergency.
That's the game. Yep. That is the game to a lifetime of payment or bankruptcy, and that is this country. And if that happens with a baby, you have to, on top of the stress of your child going to the hospital, then you talk about the cost. I mean, this is, again, we have leaders in Washington who could just do, I mean, some of the most bare minimum things, and they're refusing to do it. And then tell us to our faces, we're wrong for even asking.
You said the key word, bankruptcy. The number one reason people go bankrupt in this country is because they have a health condition that they can't afford.
Mm-hmm.
And we know within the next week or so, we're going to start seeing our re-ups for insurance, and we know our premiums are going up. So if you don't believe what I'm saying right now, just wait a week.
Yeah.
You'll see it for yourself. I think a lot of us need to see this. It actually needs to impact us. We have to feel the consequences in order to really believe what's happening. And, you know, I think that the Trump administration thought that they were being very clever when they passed HR1 by delaying a lot of these things until after the midterms. But insurance companies and hospitals have to plan. So these things are starting to hit us. They're starting to be very real. And it's about to become very painful for a lot of people.
Before you joined us last hour, we talked about Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin, who said essentially, I don't think these premium hikes are going to be a gut punch. It's not a big thing. Ron Johnson's worth $66 million.
$78.5.
Oh, sorry. I undervalued you, Rojo, my bad. We're going to continue our conversation with Dr. Kristen Lierley on the other side. If you have any questions, if you'd like to join the conversation, it's very easy to do so.
Tell us what you're seeing as far as your premiums if you're on the ACA. And also, we said earlier in the show, tell us about the decisions you're going to have to make about what you can afford. Because if you got to pay for your premiums, maybe something else has to be sacrificed. We want to hear from you.
855-752-4842. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We will be right back.
What else to do?
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation just announced the official start date for one of its biggest ever construction projects, the I-94 East-West Project, which will reconstruct and widen a 3.5-mile stretch of interstate highway in the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. This is a massive project with an estimated cost of more than $1.7 billion. And with this official start date announced also came estimates for how long this will take. Construction is expected to last until 2030. At the recombobulation area, this project is something we've covered extensively, including with an award-winning four-part series called Expanding the Divide. It might be worth revisiting that series and considering how unnecessary and expensive an extra lane is and how in southeastern Wisconsin, we're going to be dealing with construction and delays for the next 8 years in order to shave a few minutes off suburban commute times while the city streets and city problems go ignored once again.
Find all of Dan's work at the recombobulation area.
When severe weather hits and the power goes out, do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane-powered generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
A very funny stand-up comic, Mr. Mike Toomey. The last time I saw a Goldie Hawn film in the theater, the male lead was giving her a foot massage, and it was the worst foot I've ever seen. I actually said out loud, I went, ew. And my aunt started cracking up.
Yeah, maybe they could have had a stand-in, like a stunt foot.
Please, something. Even if it's a guy's foot, I don't care.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, our one, our only Cal Zone on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Join Pete Schwabba for Nightlight between 6 and 8 p.m. across the network. He's going to speak with Craig Benzine about the new movie, No Packers, No Life.
Yeah.
Currently screening in Milwaukee and a few other spots around Wisconsin. It's a big film. Lots of buzz about this movie. Mm-hmm. So join Pete tonight talking with Craig Benzine about the new movie, No Packers, No Life. That's coming up at 6:35. Our guest right now, friend, colleague, host of the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show, weekends at noon on Civic Media. Dr. Kristen Lierley is here. I did want to spend just a little time and go back to this. The new Republican measure in Wisconsin will exempt certain life-saving procedures from falling under the definition of abortion. They just have problems with words, right?
That's a great way to put
it. They do. They have problems with accurate definitions, and they are trying to take procedures which fall under the umbrella of abortion. That is the medical term, and they need to change those words to make it more palatable.
That's what they're trying to do. But let's remember, these are the same folks who have introduced legislation, not here in Wisconsin, but in other states, where you would have to take an ectopic pregnancy, a pregnancy that implants outside of the uterus, and move it into the uterus instead of actually treating this condition that kills women every single day in this country. These people do not understand how it works.
You cannot implant an ectopic pregnancy.
It's
not possible.
I promise you, I'm not trying to be funny. But when I think of an ectopic pregnancy, which, by the way, this show taught me what it was. Talking to you, Dr. Lyerly, taught me what that was. But when I hear about someone saying, well, we will take the baby and put it back where it needs to be, I think of movies in where there are hospital scenes and they use those, they use go into the body and they pull a bullet out, but they use the cameras. They think they're going to be able to do that. Go in there, use a screen, find the baby and plant it back into where it is. And that's not, I'm not a doctor and I know that's not how it works.
That was another one. They wanted to introduce legislation. They did introduce legislation that somebody would swallow a camera that would then end up in the uterus.
Yes.
Like, nope, that's not how it works. That's not where it goes, buddy. Like the actual common sense stuff, the things that they say, the things that they introduce are not consistent with medicine. You cannot get your medical advice from a politician, whether we're talking about reproductive health care or preventive health care or cardiovascular care for your heart. None of this stuff. And a great example is this fertilization business. They want to define life beginning at fertilization. Great. If that's where your ideology is, great. But recognize that fertilization means that a sperm and an egg come together. That's a fertilized egg right there. It doesn't happen in the uterus usually. It happens in a tube. And about 50% of those fertilized eggs just never implant. They just fall
out
of your body.
They just disappear. Right.
So if you have defined life at fertilization, what happens when it leaves your body and it doesn't become something? Is that a crime that you can prosecute? It seemingly so.
Well, there's two questions I have on this because this one blows my mind. One, you've said in the past, there's no definite time when the egg gets, like, you cannot clock that. You can't say Tuesday.
A light doesn't go off.
Fertilized. Well, if you swallow a camera, you can watch it then see what happens.
There you go.
Poof. Or if you do IVF, you know when fertilization happens. That is true.
But then doesn't that, from a legal standpoint, redefine the definition of life as far as, okay, I am 47 years old and 10 months. Doesn't that mean if that all comes to pass, I am now 48 years old? Like, that changes how old you are. And again, not trying to be funny. Really, if you say life begins at conception, that means that when you are born, if it is a healthy, quote unquote, normal pregnancy, you are 9 months old when you are born. And that is the law as some of these people want to make it. Am I wrong?
No, you're right. And we need a consistent definition that is based in evidence and reality, not ideology. So if you're Jewish, then life doesn't begin until you take your first breath. Yes. So then do we have different ages based on what faith we aspire to belong to? You know, like it doesn't, you know, we have to take the ideology out of it because we all have different belief sets. Mm-hmm. We have to root this law in fact, in reality, not in this magical ideology that these, you know, so-called Christians have created in this kind of legislation.
And I want to go back to something that you said, a Republican male lawmaker, and this is on video, you can Google for it, suggested that women swallow a small camera to find out what's going on in her uterus. Unfortunately, they don't connect.
You mean throw
in the body?
Throat That's bone kind of connected to the uterus bone?
Yeah, no, it does. There's no pathway there that doesn't. It doesn't line
then
up
let
like
us
that.
Ask Dr. Joel Kitchens, who is a sitting Wisconsin rep, who is a veterinarian.
He knows
more about birthing than anyone else because he is a veterinarian. I really wish you too would give these men the respect they deserve for actually trying to provide solutions.
He knows mammals.
Listen,
I know mammals.
If you want to swallow a camera, you're going to get a great look at your colon. So that
Where's the baby?
What they're going for to see, you know, what's in there. That seems to be what they're focused on.
Yeah. Join Dr. Kristen Lyerly across the network Saturdays and Sundays at noon. We love having you on the show. Thank you so very much for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you, my friend.
News is coming up next. And then audio sorbet. What movie should never have been made? 855-752-4842. Join us. This is Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
Start your day with me, Pam Yonke, every morning with the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 540 WAUK.
With local news on 540 WAUK on 100.3 FM, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Brew City police bargaining is over. The Milwaukee Police Association and Mayor Cavalier Johnson have reached a tentative police contract agreement. It didn't come without a public back and forth. The union president accused the city and mayor of insulting officers with inadequate raises and slow negotiations. Mayor Johnson pushed back against some of the union demands and rejected the union-backed idea of deploying the National Guard to address crime. Despite the words, both sides called the New Deal a reasonable compromise that still requires union and a common council approval. Earlier this year, Milwaukee Police Chief Jeffrey Norman was given a new four-year contract. His raise brings his salary to $243,000 annually, a jump of about 33% from his previous pay. After reports that Milwaukee bus drivers were told not to collect fares, Congressman Brian Stile wants to step in. He's introducing a bill called the No Free Rides Act. It would require cities to make sure passengers pay up or risk losing federal funding. Stile says Milwaukee County's fare policy has already cost the system millions and isn't fair to rule-following riders. MCTS argues that the approach was about driver safety, not giveaways. Stile says the plan is about accountability and protecting taxpayers. From Milwaukee to the majors, and now to the World Series. UW-Milwaukee alumni Dalton Varsho is heading to baseball's biggest stage with the Toronto Blue Jays, who clinched their first World Series appearance since 1993. Varsho knocked out two key hits in Game 7 against Seattle, driving in a run to help seal the deal. The Marshfield native already made history as UWM's first big league player. The World Series starts Friday. And that's the local update. It's all news all morning, 6 to 9 on 540 WAUK on 100.3 FM. News anytime at WAUKradio.com. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Coleman Domingo has become one of the most respected and in-demand actors in Hollywood. Variety is reporting that the Oscar-nominated actor will join the cast of Wicked for Good. That's the sequel to the 2025 smash hit starring Cynthia Erivo and Ariana Grande. Domingo will provide the voice for the Cowardly Lion. Coleman was nominated for an Academy Award in the Best Actor category for his role in Sing Sing, a film about how prisoners in a high-security facility learn the art of acting. His other credits include Lincoln, The Color Purple, and he will appear in the upcoming big-budget films The Running Man and in the film Michael about Michael Jackson, where he will play Jackson's father, Joe Jackson. Wicked for Good comes out November 21st of 2026. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This report on WAUK is sponsored by Pickleball Kingdom, just a half mile north of Silver Spring Drive off Pilgrim Road, Menominee Falls. Pickleball Kingdom.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Clouds and breezy northwest winds to 30 to 35. It's a both hands on the steering wheel type of day. Some scattered showers also for this afternoon. Highs of the upper 40s to lower 50s. Showers ending tonight, turning partly cloudy, lows near 40. Currently 44 degrees.
Everyone's playing pickleball, and Pickleball Kingdom in Menominee Falls is where it's at.
This is Donald Driver. Listen up. You'll never know who you'll see.
With 17 pro courts, there's no waiting around. Court times that fit your schedule, plus an impressive pro shop, event space, full locker rooms with showers, and a bar with big screens. Or catch the action live. Just a half mile north of Silver Spring Drive off Pilgrim Road. Follow Pickleball Kingdom on Instagram or Facebook. Pickleball Kingdom, Menominee Falls.
Hey, it's Dan Haney. Join me weekday mornings between 6 and 9 as 540 WAUK presents All News All Morning. We start the day with everything you need to feel informed. Stuart J. Waddles has Milwaukee and local news three times an hour, followed by Leslie Lotto from the Civic Media State News Desk, CBS News, Mike Clemens in sports, traffic and weather, money and market updates. Start your morning drive with All News All Morning on 540 WAUK on 100.3 FM.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time. From Indiana University canceling its school newspaper to northern Wisconsin being served by high school students, we'll discuss it with Pat Kreitel and Trigg Olson. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
morning. Welcome, welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Calby on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us. Call or text or leave a voice note.
You can leave a voice note even if you don't like us.
855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Todd Alba coming up later on this afternoon, 2 to 4 across the network. He will be joined at the top of the show with Pat Kreitlow and Trigvi Olsen. And then in the 3 o'clock hour, it is a Showers, old and young edition of What's Worse.
I don't know what to do with that.
It's intriguing.
But I will say this. We're still within the time frame where it's perfectly okay to text, call, or leave a voice note to tell Todd Alba happy birthday. His birthday was yesterday.
It was yesterday, yes.
And you feel free to wish him a happy birthday on his show from 2 to 4 on
Absolutely.
The Civic Media Radio Network.
Yep. 855-752-4842. So today, this is Audio Sorbet.
Yes, Audio Sorbet.
Where we lighten things up, mm-hmm. get away from the news, yes. talk about something else for a change so we can all take a breath. We were talking before the show, Calvin. You had found that Netflix is going to be making a show about something that they should not be making a show about. Can you explain that, please?
Yeah, I found this article. Netflix has acquired the rights, the film and TV rights to the Settlers of Catan board game.
They're going to make a movie about a board game.
Mm-hmm. Apparently. And yeah, it's very, I'm not sure. The game doesn't have a narrative. It doesn't have characters. The object of the game is you have resources on the map and you roll dice to earn those resources and you spend the resources to build cities and villages.
Okay.
So I'm not sure where a movie is coming into this.
Wow, that sounds like a stretch.
Yeah.
But that got us talking about Don't make this movie. And it started us talking about movies that never should have been made.
Yeah.
So that is our Audio Sorbet question today. What movie should never have been made? 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC.
Yeah, this one, I mean, so I don't know. I know the name Settlers of Catan, and I know how popular it is. And if Calvin says that it doesn't make sense to make a movie, that actually, if Calvin, who you've played that game, correct?
Yes, I actually own it.
There you go. Calvin, who has played that game, can say with full confidence he doesn't understand why it should be made. That, to me, says that reason is exactly why they will make it, because they see it as a fun challenge.
Oh, it's a challenge.
Yeah. And this is not the first game to be turned into a movie. May I remind you of the mid-teens, 2000-teens movie Battleship?
Oh, I've completely forgot about
that. They made a movie based on the... Now, it's not even a board game.
That we played as kids.
Exactly.
You're trying to sink other people's battleships.
It was all about warfare and destroying your enemies. You know, America. And if you were really rich, you had electronic battleship.
Oh.
But... yeah, this is not out of the wheelhouse of Hollywood, but again, I just think of these boardrooms where these people who are wearing suits that cost more than my car payment times 5 are saying, you know what we should do?
That's a great idea.
And then you have to listen to them talk in business speak about it. They're like, you know, our internal numbers have shown that a high engagement rate with players with maximum engagement reachage and touch the people with their, and then when it fails, you're like, yeah, we told you not to do this.
Yeah, we told you this was a bad idea. What movie should never have been made? That is our Audio Sorbet topic for today. 855-752-4842. Roger from Stevens Point texted in early, almost all of Elvis Presley's movies after 1963 should never have been made. You're not wrong.
Everything before 1963 was just Academy Award-winning art.
Well, he did have...
Yeah, there it is.
There was a good movie.
Really?
Name it.
What
was the name of that? I'll have to look it up.
And we're moving on. Do Do you have a Jane? What is a movie off the top of your head where it's not even it's not even the fact that like you don't like it, because there are a lot of movies that I don't like that I understand why they're made. Like they make a lot of money. Other people love them.
Right.
But what's a movie that just befuddles your brain where you're like, why did you do this one?
Sex and the City.
Which movie? The first or second? The entire thing.
All the Sex and the City movies.
Oh, okay. Both.
Why did you do that to me? Why? And okay. I took it very personally.
And here's a little fun fact with Jane. I don't disagree with you. I saw the Sex and the City sequel in the movie theaters in Chicago, and I along with everyone in the theater were upset. We were very mad at, like, this was insulting. This was like, hey, we have a budget, they'll get paid, let's just do some, well, that's not even, you don't even look like you're having fun. But here's the other thing about Jane, is that new show that just stopped after,
oh, and just like that,
the three seasons,
yeah.
You hated every minute of watching it.
Oh, I hate watched it.
You hate watched that show.
Yeah, pretty much.
And that's the thing. And that's the other problem, too, is that it will provide for you a bitter memory of a thing you love. So, like, if you just would have Sex in the City, and I'll even give you the first movie for fun. You'd be like, yeah. And the movie was whatever. But then you get the second movie. Then you get the reboot. And now, it's like the last season of Game of Thrones where you're like, let's not talk about that. I personally feel like the new Tron movie that just came out.
They've remade Tron?
They did. Okay, so it's not a remake and it's sort of a sequel, but they did a sequel back in 2010, and that was nearly 30 years after the first one came out. And that one didn't do so well. It's actually come back at people, it's garnered a reputation of being better than people remembered, but it didn't make a lot of money. So they're like, yeah, we're not going to do it. And then all of a sudden they said, we're making a third Tron movie. And almost everyone in the Tron community, I consider myself part of, were like,
no,
why?
Don't.
So you're going to, you're going to continue the story from the 2010. Nope. New story. Oh, they come to the real world, but this movie's about being in the computer world. Who's going to be in it? Jared Leto. Why are we doing this?
What movie should never have been made? 855-752-4842. King Rat on a live stream says Open Water was terrible, and the Blair Witch Project was a terrible disappointment at the end. King Rat also says by the end of Open Water, I was cheering for the Sharks. And Halloween 3, Season of the Witch, also a terrible movie. Didn't fit into the franchise at all. Just a money grab.
Well, they felt like they had told the entire story, and they're like, let's make it. They wanted to keep the Halloween title going and say, we're going to make anthology films. So it's little vignette films in the holiday, a Halloween milieu. And people were like, where's Michael Myers? They're like, let's bring him back. So just to make horror fans mad, I will be like, Halloween 3 is the best one of all of them. You got to realize that, right? Just because I want to be contrarian.
Oh, just because you're being annoying.
Yeah, just because I'm being annoying.
What movie should never have been made? 855-752-4842. Brett from Brown Deer, The Fast and the Furious, all of them. No one is fighting crime by driving cars way too fast all day. I was an Uber driver in Milwaukee at night. I've seen enough of that driving to last a lifetime. I can't even imagine.
Well, and that was the thing, too, is the first Fast and Furious movie is about cars and car racing. And then you get into the later movies. It's like, we need to rob a bank in Rome. And they're somehow jumping their cars off of buildings onto other buildings. It is,
as one does,
ridiculous.
Completely true to life.
Yeah, exactly. It's more of a biography film series.
Right.
Think
it's
about
like
it.
An autobiography. 855-752-4842. What movie should never have been made? Ollie from the Northwoods joining us on the phone. Good morning, Ollie. What do you think about this?
Good morning. I actually, if you don't mind, would like to change the subject. Something you were talking about. You were talking about there's been a lot of articles out about the Republicans and ICE, etc.
We lost you there, Ollie. Sorry.
Oh, sorry about that, Ollie. Yeah. And we're kind of in the middle of audio sorbet right now. Ollie, you can always email us at Jane Says at civicmedia.com. Jane Says at civicmedia.us is, sorry.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. Yeah.
Jane Says at civicmedia.us. If there's ever anything you would like us to talk about, something that you think that we missed or something that has jumped out at you, mm-hmm. Yeah. Let us know about it. Just email us at Jane Says at civicmedia.us. Right now, though, we are in the midst of audio sorbet.
Yes. And the question is?
What movie should never have been made? What movie should never have been made? 855-752-4842.
Our guy Casper on the text line, Chris, our friend and colleague here at Civic Media, listening on WAUK, says Waterworld.
That was the one with Kevin Costner.
That was his first
bomb.
But it was post Dances with Wolves, where he could do no wrong. Like, that was like the biggest film ever. And he's like, what are you going to do next? He's like, I'm going to make $100 million movie about the oceans being the earth. And they're like, great.
Go forth.
But that's another movie that in the past 25, 30 years it's been out, it has garnered a cult classic, cult narrative towards, like, people really enjoy it. It just got lambasted in because it was, I think at the time, it was the most expensive movie that was ever made. And
that,
it just,
that opened itself up for a lot of criticism.
Absolutely,
then.
Absolutely.
Carmella in Milwaukee listening on WAUK. Return to the Blue Lagoon. They returned
yes.
to the Blue Lagoon?
Yeah.
Oh,
weren't they trying to get away from the Blue Lagoon?
Whoa. That is hilarious.
Yeah.
I can't imagine how bad that was.
Jay in Eau Claire listening on WCFW says most of the Friday the 13th movies. Yeah, I mean, a lot of those Hallmark horror genre
they tried to milk those franchises
yes.
way too long.
You watch the first Nightmare on Elm Street movie and Freddy Krueger is terrifying.
Yes.
By the final, like by the like the fourth, fifth, and sixth, he's literally cracking one-liner jokes the entire time. It's not even like it because if we were in the today world, Freddy Krueger would be the anti-hero good guy, because that's what we do with our villains in movies. They can't be villains. They have to be good guys. We sort of root for. Back then, they're like, well, we love him, but he's still a murderer. So let's just make him funny.
Great.
Yeah, exactly.
Great. What movie should never have been made? 855-752-4842. Penny texting in Ted and Ted 2. Oh, with the bear.
I understand. I like the first Ted. The second one is necessary. And the TV show is just miserable. It's just so bad. Kelvin, do you have a movie that you think is just not needed or it befuddles you?
I guess I haven't even seen it, but the one that comes to mind is the 2010 live action movie, Avatar, The Last Airbender.
Yeah.
It's a loved animated show mm-hmm. that is targeted around, like, 12 to 14 year olds.
Yeah.
And they decided to make a live action movie and it was just lambasted as awful.
Oh yeah. Well, and that's the thing I'll never understand too. They made a Three Stooges movie in 2012, a live action Three Stooges movie. And I don't know who needed to be fired after they did that.
By the way, happy birthday, Curly.
Yes.
Curly. Wow. The Three Stooges was born today. We'll put a little bow on that. That wraps up Audio Sorbet. When we return, This Shouldn't Be a Thing, Bear With Me Now edition. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
This Week in Waukesha, a weekly podcast presentation of WAUK.
Hey, it's Downtown Donnie Brown, and this week in Waukesha, we are acting locally, thinking globally, talking about mayoral election, which has suddenly become a little bit more crowded with the announcement of City Council President Alicia Halbenslaven announcing her candidacy for mayor, challenging Scott Allen.
Find This Week in Waukesha at waukradio.com. Go to the website and search This Week in Waukesha from 540 WAUK.
Did the average S&P 500 CEOs earn in less than 2 days what their typical worker earned in all of 2023? Yes. In 2023, the average S&P 500 CEO earned about $17 million, or about $46,849 per day, compared to under $64,000 per year for the average worker. Median figures were similar. CEOs made $16.3 million, while median workers earned about $81,000, equivalent to less than 2 days of CEO pay. High CEO compensation remains a stark contrast to the modest worker earnings across major U.S. companies. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning, welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Jam-packed show coming up tomorrow. Jim Santel joins us every Thursday after 9:30. He is the host of Amicus, a law review, Saturday mornings, 9 to 11 across the network. A great show.
Oh,
you will
gosh,
learn
yes.
so much. And there's a lot to cover with Jim Santel. I'm not even sure where we're going to start. We want to talk about the U.S. blowing boats out of the water with apparently no evidence. But, you know, there's a lot of things to kick around with Jim Santel.
I think we should start with cocktails first. Let's start with a nice round
Let's
of cocktails.
Let's start drinking. Exactly. Yes, let's start drink. Can't drink all day if you don't start in the morning. Yes. Also tomorrow, Madeline Anderson and James Flores from the Milwaukee Public Museum will be joining us. They're going to do something special on the streets of Milwaukee for Halloween.
Mm-hmm. And James will be talking about the museum's Native American Heritage events. The Native American Heritage Month events, as well as the programming they will have. Great displays there right now. And go see them while you can, because they're currently building that new one.
They're going to be moving.
And it's coming along.
Yeah, it really is. It's moving along. Yeah. And Paul Noonan will be here from the Acme Packing Company to talk all things sports. So join us tomorrow, jam-packed show for you coming up. It is 10:54, Calvin. That means it's time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
If you find a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at Jane Says at civicmedia.us. JaneSays, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. This actually does not fit under the umbrella of this shouldn't be a thing, because we kind of love this.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't have any place to put it, so we put it here. I'm just going to tell you that. Just being honest.
That's the kind of transparency we'd like to see in government, Jane Matinere, you bring into this show.
That's what you get on this program is transparency. This Calvin found from the Manhattan Times.
That doesn't sound made up.
No byline, unfortunately, but the headline reads, "Bear breaks into California zoo to play with other bears."
I love that.
How can you not love that? A young black bear caused quite a stir at Sequoia Park Zoo in Eureka, California, not by escaping.
No.
But by breaking in. Last week, a zoo worker found the wild bear standing curiously, nose pressed up against the fence of the zoo's resident black bears. What followed was a surprising and harmless encounter that left zoo staff and visitors both puzzled and amused. Zoo supervisor Christine Noel said the bear was very polite, stayed on the path, kept all four paws on the ground, didn't try to climb any barriers.
I'm just here to see my friends.
He was just spotted walking through a trail, and then he was seen interacting with the zoo's three resident bears through the fence. Once staff realized the bear wasn't theirs, it's like, how many bears do we have? One, two, three. That would be four.
You have four now. You have four bears
now. We have an extra bear. Once staff realized the bear was not theirs, they started emergency protocols. One employee radioed, "Is this a drill?" No, there we have a loose bear. Not every day they help with crowd control for a bear who doesn't understand, stay behind the railings. Because he was right up against the fence so he could talk to his friends. Thankfully, the wild bear never came into contact with visitors. They believe it's a young bear, about 1.5 years old. Calm, curious, going nose to nose with other bears in what appeared to be polite introductions.
Okay, a few things here. If the bear didn't get to stay there, that's the thing that shouldn't be. This bear should be living there now. Yes, they can. It's fine. They're experts. They'll know what to do. It's a baby bear. And also, it's stories like this that make me want to go pet bears. I'm sorry.
Don't pet bears.
I'm not going to. But when you hear about cute little bears with their nose pressed, you're like, I just want to be friends with them.
Aren't they adorable? They don't want to, they don't want to be friends with you. After playing with some of their toys, a wildlife warden gently guided the bear back into the nearby forest. They're still trying to figure out how it got over the perimeter fence, which is topped with barbed wire. They think he may have climbed a tree and then dropped in accidentally and then found himself on the wrong side of the fence.
I really blame my dog. I don't think I'd have these kind of feelings for the stories like this if I didn't have a dog, because now I'm just thinking of a tiny little bear being all cute, like, I just want to play with my friend. Oh, my God. Okay.
Everything happened. Everything wrapped up well.
Yep.
Everybody was fine.
Good.
Online, locals speculated about the bear's motives, suggesting it was looking for snacks, friends, possibly to be a bear ambassador or ambassador.
Thank you. I'm like, she's not going to pass that up. She's not going to pass that up at all. Oh, that's a good story.
And we love it.
Oh,
we're kind of pro bears visiting bears.
Oh, yes. And come on back to their supervised visits. I don't know. I just want this bear to be part of their lives now.
He can come back.
Yeah.
That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Thank you, Greg and Calvin, and all of our engineers and everyone at Civic, because without all of you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and listening and watching on the live stream. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you get the chance to share it. We have news coming up next, followed by Tom Hartman. Then Todd Alba, 2 to 4, Maggie Dawn, 4 to 6, Pete Schwabe, 6 to 8, Native Roots Radio, Robert Pilot, and more. Mm-hmm. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow.
We're a civic media station.
CBS News Brief. Oregon Democrat Jeff Merkley has been speaking on the Senate floor since last night, attacking Trump administration policies.
Okay, to weaponize the Department of Justice to go after perceived political opponents. James Comey, Letitia James, Adam Schiff, a member of the Senate. Hell no.
Day 22 of the government shutdown. House Speaker Mike Johnson blames Democrats.
This is now the second longest government shutdown of any kind ever in the history of our country, and it's just shameful.
SpaceX has launched its 133rd Falcon 9 satellite-carrying rocket of the year. CBS's Peter King says that's a new high for the private company.
The record comes as the company's Starship program experiences delays and the threat of